Blog Talk Radio. This is why deep divers, you don't want to be so hard on yourself. Because I see a lot of people right now giving themselves a hard time. But I'm here to tell you, wait a minute. You're doing better than you think. I'm doing better than I think. You see, there is only one true way to know if you are improving your life. Ask yourself this question every single day, deep divers, as soon as you wake up. Do I have the same problems right now as I did last year? Deep divers, the answer for me is absolutely no. Why? Because every single day, deep divers, I'm working on myself. Every single day, deep divers, I'm learning more about myself. You see, this matrix has so many people running around like headless chickens, in a hurry to get nowhere fast. Work on yourself, deep divers, harder than you work on your business. Study yourself, deep divers, more than you study for those exams. You see, if you can realize today that problems will fade away, deep divers, when you take one day at a time, all you have to do is study from the greatest library on planet Earth. And that library exists within yourself. Study your emotions. What makes you happy? What makes you sad? Learn more about yourself, because I guarantee you, deep divers, the problems you have right now won't be there next year, because they will have disappeared. So there you have it, deep divers. Realize you're doing better than you think. If you don't have the same problems right now as you did last year, congratulations. And that's why we're just saying, feels so good to be alive, baby. Can I get a hello? Beautiful, deep divers. We're just breathing in that good ass prana, baby. Have a beautiful day, deep divers. Peace.
All right.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
All right, peace, 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 everybody. Thank you guys for tuning in to another broadcast of the Enhancing Awareness Radio, guys, of the Motivational Classroom. There we go. So thanks for tuning in to another broadcast, Motivational Classroom, guys. As you guys always know, you're no stranger to ear. I am your host, Haru, and as always, I'm joined with Auntie LJ. Eternal is not with us in the moment, but of course, as always, he's with us. With us in spirit. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Gratitude to energy. Shout out to the 32. Love you. Thank you. Today, guys, what we're going to be talking about is today. Today, I feel that this broadcast is going to go how it's going to go. But the topic and the focal point today was what drives parents to keep unwanted children. Now, the first title that I chose is what drives a parent to hate a child. So I think we can pretty much slice this both ways. You know, what drives a parent to hate a child, and also what drives parents to keep unwanted children. First of all, what would make them unwanted? You know, I guess there's a host of things to make them unwanted. You know, like a child that is conceived out of rape. You know what I mean? A child that is conceived out of incest. You know, there are. Ooh, that is a good one. You know, Mary Fox actually brought that up about what drives parents to keep unwanted children. So we're going to slice this in both aspects. Now, I will let you guys know I do not personally have children. So this is not an area in which I have great expertise in. But as always, guys, we bring these hard conversations forth, you know, so we can begin to discuss. Now, I do know Auntie LJ is with me, but I do know Auntie LJ does not have any hate, you know what I mean, for her children personally, per se, or anybody that I truly know who has admitted, you know what I'm saying, openly, you know, that they pretty much hate their child. Now, I've seen to where parents may dislike their child, or there's even favoritism toward one child toward the other, you know. So let's begin to discuss all of these factors, you know, favoritism, all of that good stuff that we don't admit that we do, okay? So, yeah, guys, I know one story that Auntie LJ will always share with me, and that I always actually suck. I like to research shit and study, so I find myself talking and interviewing women a lot. And what I found is that, you know, each child has to be treated differently, or each child has to be, you know, treated equally. Not has to be, but that's a wise thing to do, is to kind of, you know, understand the scientific makeup of each child individually. You know what I mean? So even if you are an adult child, guys, call in, weigh in on a conversation. Jimmy, I do see you, and I do also know that you're on the bus, which means that there's a lot of New York noise in the background. So I'm going to be bringing you in shortly. But if you're not talking, you know, just remember to mute, you know what I mean, with your background noise once I do bring you in. So please be sure to check out our website, www.enhancingawarenessradio.net. On enhancingawarenessradio.net, guys, I have added a PDF book section. I have added Haru's favorite section, and you can contact us for consultations. Auntie LJ does consultations. I do spiritual consultations, and I believe Eternal does spiritual consultations as well. So please be sure to go to meet the team and also in our services tab. So check out all of the tabs, guys. We have a lot of the PDFs are free, you know what I mean? And you don't have to email me anymore. You only have to email me to get a PDF that is of donation, you know what I mean? Some of the more sacred books are, you know, a donation. And, I mean, guys, $3, $2, you know what I'm saying, $11. No book that I got listed is higher than $11 donation, you know what I'm saying? So you can download it directly on the website. And even if you guys do not, you know, you can't afford it, you don't have the money, you need the book or what all that, I don't mind sending it to you for free. You know, it's not about the money with fear, okay? You know what I'm saying? If you guys need it, we will ensure that you guys get it. And that goes for consultations as well. All right, guys, so again, what drives the parents to keep a wanted children, or what, you know, what drives the parents to hate a child? So we're going to be talking about it today. The number to call in is going to be area code 929-477-3423. Be sure that you guys press 1 if you want to join us and get in on the conversation. If not, you can simply call the number and just listen. All right, Auntie LJ, peace on to you. How are you feeling this rising, and your thoughts on this lovely old topic?
Ooh-wee.
Yeah.
Greetings, everyone. Peace and love to everybody who's listening and will be listening, or will get this on playback and be able to listen in the future. This particular topic can branch off to so many other topics. And the root of where I'm seeing it from my perspective, not just from being a mother and having children, but as a whole, society plays a major role in a lot of what we do as parents, as people, and our choices in our lives and how we deem that we are going to live them. What we see when we're dealing with people who have unwanted children is primarily people who love unconditionally. These are the people who will give the life but doesn't want to be active even in the life. These are a lot of your disabled, you know, people give away disabled children. People give away their unwanted children for, you know, the foster care system and things of that nature, as far as the regardings of not being able to face what that brings. What does that look like? The fear factors kick in. You know, a lot of women, to get outside of situations, will have a baby. You know you can't go down to defects. They ain't going to give you no money. But if you got a baby, they'll give you a check. If you got a baby, you can get food stamps. If you got a baby, you can get Section 8. You see how society plays into that?
Mm-hmm.
And so for a lot of the younger people who are embarking on coming into their adulthood, and they say, well, it's okay, I'll just have one baby, and then I'll be able to have access
even $1,400.
To these benefits. Right, right. Mm-hmm. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to
that.
Oh,
yeah.
But, I mean, when money, see, when money starts to be very prevalent to everything that you think a foundation is, that's dangerous. Because people will pimp their children. People will pimp their children in a way that has never been even rationalized, even though it's doable. You know, you got women that have babies back to back to back to back to back just because they know, okay, I'm going to have five kids, so that's going to give me 5 years to get up on my feet by the time they turn teenagers. So I got one turning 19. I got one turning 16. I got one turning 13. I got one turning 10. And I got a 6 year
old. So it's calculated.
It's calculated. Yes.
Mm.
It can be calculated. It can be. You know, grandma never got off of Medicaid. It turned to Medicare. Why? Because she has so many children. So she became old Mother Hubbard in the shoe, who didn't have had so many children, she didn't know what to do. So all she kept doing was having babies so that she could create a system in which she could become conducive in that system to allow the children to be the bread and butter for how she provided for them on a system. So grandma becomes a part of the system. She teaches the daughter to become part of the system. Oh, I'm moving out. Well, you got to have a baby to move out because you can't get no benefits single. But do you really want this baby? Because now you're sacrificing your freedom, because once you have this baby, that's your baby. Nobody's responsible for your baby but you. This is the area that now you begin to despise the baby. Because I can't live my life. I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything. Nobody wants to watch my baby. But you had the baby for a perk. But you wasn't ready for the long term that came with it, because when you babysit other people's children, you can give those children back. When you have your own, you can't. So now I dislike you. Ooh, I had you. You look just like your father. But now you mad at the father because the father told you he didn't want to have a baby. He told you that he had half on an abortion or all on the abortion. Now your spirituality kicks in. I don't want to kill my baby. But you really don't want to be a mother. You want the baby for the benefits that the baby brings. You don't want to be a mother. You want to be a parent. It's a difference. You know, we're quick to wanna jump into these situations and, oh, I don't want the baby, but I want the man. So let me have a baby for him. And if I got a baby for him, then he in my life for the rest of my life, even if we ain't together. Why? Because when this baby grows up and have babies, we both going to be the grandparents. When this baby grow up and graduate from levels of their achievements in life, we both going to show up. If he's, you know, responsible and an active father and things of that nature, he coming, I'm coming. It's a constant reminder. It's the constant cycle. It's control. It can even become narcissistic. And society plays the role in this. This is not something that we are naturally taught when we're in a healthy home foundation. This is something that we're taught under manipulation, which is survival. So you having these babies under survival, you wasn't ready for them then, you not ready for them now, you done messed with the neighborhood drug dealer, so you didn't hit the jackpot. So the nigga who really got some money and really digging you don't really want to be bothered because you come with so much baggage and so many baby fathers that he feels like he's got to constantly be in competition. So now the baby's in my way. The baby's blocking me from being with this man. The baby is impeding me from this man being able to really trust me because he see I got all these baby daddies. And one thing you can't do about being a mother is you can't discount all your baby daddies. I ain't the first nigga you done did nothing with, boo, because you let niggas nut in you because you got children. So I know you play. I know you do shit. I know you manipulate. I know. I watched you not let your baby daddy come get the kid because you didn't get the money. So do I really want to have children with you? So now the baby's in the way. See, the baby started off being an asset because you was going to get some shit. But you didn't pay attention to timing on the other shit you wasn't going to be able to get. You didn't do the 360 on the baby. And you went half. You went half on the baby, but he told you he ain't want no baby. And you thought he was playing. If you just had the baby, he going to stay. But he had the baby, so you got the baby, but you didn't get the man.
But
so
see,
these
Bobby
are the little things
something.
That cause the negative, you know, thought process of women having children, loving their children, but not knowing how to do so.
Let me see if I can find it, because I think I downloaded it, but let me see what I can find it. But Bobby was saying something in the aspect of women have children, but they are not in their mother season. Like, you know what I mean? They have children.
Right.
And they, yeah, that part.
Because you get women, who are anatomically, at 8 years old, women are women if they have a cycle. At eight, I had my first cycle at nine. So at 9 years old, my physical body was ready for some things that my mental state was not. So if I had been molested or raped or, you know, had sex at nine, I could have been pregnant. Now, I'm just going to ask a simple question. Is nine-year-olds ready to be mothers? In any diaspora of work that come with. Are nine-year-olds ready to be mothers? So you have these changes that are going into the body that are happening with the physical body. You're developing, you're processing age, you're going through your woman cycle. But your mind ain't there. And unlike a toy or a baby doll, when you get tired of playing with it, you can't set the baby in the corner and go outside and play. You can't set the baby in the corner and go to the movies and the skate rinks with your friends. You can't set the baby in the corner and walk away from it. That baby has to be eight. That baby has to be protected from itself, because that baby doesn't know that if I roll off this couch, I'm a hit my head. I'm a hurt myself. So it's a lot of accountability and responsibility that come with this baby. And even seasoned women, they jump out here, oh, I like kids. I watch kids. I get my sister's kids all the time. I get my brother's kids all the time. My neighbor has little kids that come down, and we do arts and crafts, and it's fun. And I just love children. And then you have one, and your baby is mean, and your baby don't like to do arts and crafts, and your baby crying all the time, and your baby colicky, because your baby can feel, even from the womb, that you really didn't want it. Your children feel that. Your children come into the world. Everything that you experience pregnant, your baby feel that. If you a crybaby and he make you cry all the time, you going to have a crybaby. Your baby going to cry all the time because that's all it grew up in was you being emotional, you crying. So your thoughts are connected to your baby. I hate him. He make me sick. He don't love me.
Subconsciously.
He don't want me. Exact subconsciously, through your DNA, through your blood, through your water, everything that you say about yourself while you carry that child, you're saying to that child, because that child is a product of you and that man. The way that he talks to you, children know your voice. See, hearing is the first thing we get, and it's the last thing we lose in life and death. So your children hear how the father talks to you. Your children feel the emotions that you feel. When your endorphins are released and, ooh, he loves me, ooh, he rubbing my belly, he happy that I'm having his baby, that's a whole nother level of child y'all creating right there. Outside of the other couple that's, bitch, fuck you. I told you to get an abortion. I ain't want that motherfucking baby no goddamn way. You trying to trap me. Mind you, you pregnant with a son. You teaching him. Mind you pregnant with a daughter. That's what she going to look for at 14. Because once you had a baby, your energy don't change. You shit, I had a baby. So what? But if that nigga don't come back, you going to get another nigga just like him because you never healed. So the mental state of people prior to pregnancy, because men go through stuff during pregnancy too. Brothers tend to forget that. Brothers have morning sickness. Brothers start sleeping all the time. Brothers get munchies and cravings. Brothers even go through our cycles with us, ladies. When you getting ready to come on your cycle, your man start having a cycle with you. He get moody. Count 28 days from the last time y'all had an argument and tell me I'm lying. He gets sensitive. They don't talk to me like that. Why you so moody? Nah, nigga, you moody.
They don't.
Nah, it's been you. Now y'all got an argument. And he don't understand it because he ain't in tune with his feminine. To understand that when the two of you become one, your masculine and feminine attach to his masculine and feminine, and y'all are one, even when you're separated. You get up and wash your ass off. You get up and take a shower. But the energy that is between the two of you is still consistent and prevalent because y'all are together, even when apart. This is why you can think things and your partner pick up on what you're thinking. Your partner, you and y'all partner, y'all got a busy signal because y'all calling each other at the same time, or y'all both going to voicemail because y'all calling each other at the same time. This is stuff people don't talk about, but it's the connection.
And we do it all the time.
Doing our research, we found that even 2 months before you get somebody pregnant, it's an energy about you and them that shifts to create the pregnancy subconsciously. Subconsciously. So when we're dealing with these attitudes and energies and insecurities and uncertainties, what I did want to touch on that you talked about was how to treat the children when you have multiple children. You deal with multiple children accordingly. You might have a quiet child that it's, you know, ain't real wild and crazy. They not depressed. They just okay with being by themselves. They okay with reading a book. They okay with, you know, not going outside to play all the time. Then you might have a precocious child. They don't never want to pick up no book. They don't never want to be quiet. They don't never want to sit down. And it ain't that they,
they cry
ADHD.
All the time.
When ain't nothing wrong, I done fed you, I done changed you, I done bounced you around, but your spirit is still agitated. And you're agitated, and you don't know why, because you the child. But your mama agitated, and she thinks she hiding it from you, because she's not showing you physically that she's agitated, but she's stressed out about the bills. She's stressed out about how she's going to get 14 bags of laundry to the laundromat without a car. She's stressed out with, do she have enough laundry soap to wash the laundry? Do she have enough quarters? She's stressed out because her brother caught her with some extra stuff going on in the family. She's stressed out because the daddy not there to help. So these children pick this stuff up. But see, Bill Cosby tried to tell us is you got to be careful when you're talking to children, because children are innocent, but they not stupid. And they will share with you what their thoughts are. So the child say, well, mommy, why you sad? Oh, baby, I'm not sad. Mommy, why you lying? You said I couldn't lie to you. Why are you lying to me?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Your baby more like you than you thought. Or your baby more like him than you thought. And this is nothing that's taught. This is DNA download spiritual information that's available. So, I mean, if we've got callers, bring them on in if they're interested in touching with the topic. But, you know, I could go on and on.
We would definitely hit as many areas and avenues, you know, if it's not a part two on this topic, because I think it's very great, you know, in this balanced energy in the Mayat that we are in, that we have these conversations. So, Jimmy, you're here. Peace and love to you.
I'm sorry, Jimmy. I know you don't have children.
Okay, go ahead.
One more thing, Keithon, before we go to Jimmy. Peace and love, Jimmy.
Okay.
The topic of hate. I don't think that people in their right minds, in their being open to healing, I don't think it's a love or hate situation with children or parents and children. I think that that is something that is taught, and it is something that is learned along the way. What I will say is parents don't necessarily hate their children. They hate their children's ways, and they hate their children's ways for one of two reasons. Either it triggers them that they used to be that,
okay,
and they don't want the child to go in the wrong direction, but they can't control the child, or two, they're afraid of what that looks like because they didn't know the other 23 chromosomes that child is emulating. See, it's a dangerous thing to lay down with people that you don't know. It's a dangerous thing to attach to people and you don't know them, because your children are going to act out in that full 360 of what they're made from. So you're going to get your properties as a mother, and you're going to get that right. And so the hate starts to kindle for a lot of women. You see women abuse children because the child looks like the father.
Yeah.
You see men abuse children because the child looks like the mother. So it's a constant reminder, and it brings you back to the pain and the things that hurt. Some people dote over their children, even in this area, because the child looks like the mother or father, and that was the love of your life. So you hard on all your other kids, but the baby you had with him, it's okay for that baby to cut up and do things because that's who you really love. And so because that's his child, now there's favoritism. But we'll get deep into that. I just wanted to touch on those few things that you said in the beginning of the show and give my outlook in that way.
Yeah.
So come on, Jimmy. Welcome. Welcome.
Yeah, we definitely a lot on the table here. So, Jimmy, I know you don't have children of your own, but I do know you are a child. I know you have brothers and sisters as well. So you may can speak on a child's perspective or just your whole overview on the topic. Pete, you open now. Your mic open. Hey, it sounds like you're underwater, love. Yeah, your phone. You got a new phone, right? It sounds like you. Yeah, that's better.
All right. Even though I don't really know about the topic, it's because I came in late. But on a child perspective, because I am going into the adulthood.
If you can take your headsets off or something like that, because it's you kind of sound far away. We can hear you, but
we're struggling. We can't make out what you're saying.
Yeah.
Can you hear me better now?
There you go. There you go.
So even though I don't know the topic of what was being talked about or spoken about, but on a child perspective, growing into adulthood, I can say that it's a lot of osmosis of technique that was passed down throughout generations that needs healing, for one, and that when the parent looks at the child, they're afraid of themselves because it's so much of the parent within that child, and that child shows the freedom that the parent once had, and they look at it as I look at how the world is with so much bigotry. Because it's so unknown. It is so – nothing, but something at the same time. And it's so much confusion that people or persons, beings, we do our best to come out of the shell without being impulsive, but impulsive at the same time. So that's all I really have to really say on that.
That last part, do you mind breaking that down? Or if you can reiterate, Auntie, that last part, being impulsive.
Basically, what he's saying. Right.
Okay.
And that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. What it is there's no book on parenting. People say, oh, well, you use your religion. Use the Bible. The Bible tells you spare the rod, spoil the child. And all this whole type of stuff. You know, the Quran tells you to do it this way. The Torah tells you to do it that way. Because we as a people have not had rite of passage in our current evolution, in our current situations. Our rites of passage is getting your driver's license at 16 because the government says that you're old enough to drive. Our rites of passage is you can buy cigarettes at 21. Because, you know, you can drink at 21. You can do these things at these certain age levels. But that has nothing to do with your foundational structure. And because grandmas and papas are getting younger and younger and younger, and they're not structured either, we're sending off this chaotic energy that we call parenting. Rite of passage is very important, and there are many stages to rite of passage. You can have rite of passage coming from your just being months to your first birthday, living a full fiscal year. You can have rite of passage to from your first year to your fifth year, how you're developing, how you're learning how to walk, how you're creating the foundation of foods and the foods you like and the drinks you like and coming into your do's and don'ts and your will and your wants. Then from 5 to 10, you're experiencing body changes and how to talk to people and self-confidence and awareness and things of that nature. From 10 to 13, you're coming into your coming out of childhood, going into your teenage years. So everything is exploratory. And people are telling you, well, you know, you're getting ready to go into high school and you're getting ready with this governmental setup for rite of passage. But nobody's talking to you about how to have a relationship with yourself in that awkward moment. Just think back. Go from 10 to 13 years old. Just 3 years. How drastically did your life change from becoming a child and going into adolescence of a teenager? It was some drastic changes that took place in your life in those 3 years. Now for the brothers, y'all growing hair, y'all getting body sensations, y'all feeling things, your eyes is wondering, you know, why do I look at girls like this the way I do? Ooh, for some, why am I looking at the boys like this? What the fuck? You know, and vice versa for the women. So we never had rites of passage where a council of elderly people. The closest thing that I would say that we have in America for that would be religion. It would be your pastor and your first lady and your church family that you get that kind of counsel of being able to go and sit with elders and talk about the things that you are evolving into or triggering or acknowledging. It's under religion. But Native, indigenous, highly melanated people on the west part of Africa that we're on, that we call America, we don't have a lot of that. If you were not raised in Ifa, if you were not raised in a close-knit church, if you were not raised in a close-knit masjid or synagogue or some religious practice that, you know, was available to you, then you probably missed a lot of stuff along the way when it comes to having rites of passage. So in your family, the women are no longer getting with the girls and setting dining room tables for family dinners and stuff, teaching the etiquette of a fork, a salad fork, a cutting knife, a butter knife, a teaspoon, a tablespoon, how to do moderate corners on the end of the tablecloth, how to set the napkins up. We're not getting this. Now everybody goes and buys paper products and they throw them all over the table, and we got it set up like a smorgasbord, so you don't even get served. You serve yourself, self-serve. So when we're doing these things and we're not creating a rite of passage, and family is not coming together to discuss rite of passage, and rite of passage is not only the praise of the higher things but the acknowledgement of the lower things, our secrets is what keep us from creating safe zones. You got pedophiles in the family, but can't nobody talk about it at the dinner table because we don't want to hurt nobody's feelings or offend nobody. You got abusers at the table, but everybody act like they don't see that. And the children are sponges. They see it all. They're looking at the big picture. They're just not looking at mama and daddy. Hey, when we go over to the grandma's house, you know, Uncle such and such, he be tripping. You hear how he be talking to the females? He be calling them bitches and hoes, and they love it. You just activated that seed in your child. And you were, why you so crazy? Well, you had a baby with crazy people. That's why he crazy. You know, you didn't get to know the man. The man showed you a mask for 2 years, and you fell in love with the mask. Huh? And now reality is reality, and it's a problem. And now you mad. And if you had a did this, and if y'all would have did that, no. If you would have took time to get to know who you was having this baby with, you would have seen the 360 of that person and knew the probability and possibility of what your child was going to have access to, whether they were in the presence or just the atmosphere. Of none.
Okay.
You feel me?
Okay. Yes. Mary Fox, because Mary Fox actually is the one who wanted to suggested, rather, you know, for us to change the title, and I definitely want to hear from her perspective. I think Mary has 8 children, so Mary Fox, mm-hmm. your mic is open. Peace. Thank you.
You want to
go? Wait. Before you come in, Mary, I just want to say this. When you are in the knowing of the collective of children, we have to be careful not to exit anything out. So I'm going to rewind that. Our sister has 9 children, of which one has transitioned. We don't leave out our babies. Come on in, Mary.
I don't know, honey. Sorry, y'all. Peace and love to you all on this day. I do have 8, and one passed away, so I have 7 living.
Okay. Thanks for correcting that.
All right, Mary. I know you probably have something going on in your background.
I'm sorry,
too.
Y'all.
You good.
I follow y'all.
No,
y'all.
You good, baby.
Sitting here with my husband and baby, and, you know, they trying to talk to me at the same time. But, I saw when you changed the topic of the show, and so it just came up in my head, you know, the topic of, you know, why parents, you know, decide to keep children that, you know, they necessarily didn't want, you know, whether it could have been, you know, that the father didn't want it, whether it be that they didn't think that they could financially take care of the child, or, you know, whether, you know, they was raped, you know, because a lot of kids, a lot of people are raped, and sometimes, you know, they don't have abortions, and they do have those children. So, you know, that's why that topic actually popped out in my head, you know. As you may know, I have had my issues, you know, with my mom, as into, you know, some of the things that happened during growing up, I didn't think that she actually handled it in a good way. You know, we always think the world of our parents, and, you know, we think that our parents are supposed to act this certain kind of way, you know, unconditional love type stuff, but it's not always that way, you know. And, you know, being that we're coming into an awakening, you know, we are in within the awakening, and people are coming into the knowledge of self, you know, we as a community, as people, we have to actually, you know, get behind our parents, mothers, mostly because it takes a village, you know. And sometimes, you know, our parents have things going on in their lives that children don't necessarily understand at that moment in time. And they do things that, you know, it not necessarily have been the best way they could have handled the situation, you know. And a lot of people are traumatized because of that, you know, because, you know, they thought their parents were horrible parents and never taking the time to, you know, understand their parents or to see what was actually going on at that time and situation for their parents in life, period, you know, trying to raise kids and go to work and do all of these things, you know. So, you know, being that we're awakening, you know, we really have to put it all out there on the table so that, you know, parents can start to open up and talk, you know, about the things that, you know, need to be, have these talks that need to go on, you know. We are coming out of, people are addicted and coming out of addiction, you know, whether it was crack, cocaine, whatever it is, you know, it's a major mm-hmm. awakening. And, you know, it's a lot of factors into things that we're going to have to weigh all those things, you know, for the parents and children to be able to come to common ground and start to see. And, you know, and we can build better relationships and just, you know, get everybody together and come together as family and start to build as family. And then once we build within, you know, it can go out. And, you know,
right.
Cousins,
mm-hmm.
all of this family just come together.
Healing the bloodline, healing the. Yeah, what
I got
I'm going to give you a second. LJ, and just to let you know, LJ, your question, but I want to actually express something on top of that using my experience as well.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So hating themselves is what they're saying in the background. You know, what drives a parent to hate a child? Hating themselves is something that Kevin just said in the background, and he's absolutely right. But I just want to share my experience out there is because I felt that coming up, you know, I had both my mom and my dad. My dad was the nurturing one. He was the loving one and still is to this day. My mother was the one who wore the pants. So that confused me, you know, at an early age, and I felt, you know, she was a horrible mother. She was an awful mother, you know. And me and the M family knows the whole back history as far as me and my mom. Me, it took me 37 years to get to a point to where I had to truly forgive my mother, and that was understanding that she did her best with what she had, given, you know, her background, you know what I'm saying, which was unhealed, which was, you know, full of generational curses, you know what I'm saying. But, you know, it at some point it would be up to the child to, you know, kind of go within themselves and start to really truly understand, you know what I'm saying, as far as what happened, how did it happen, start to examine every level of it, you know what I mean? Then I think, speaking from a child's perspective, then the healing can begin. then there's a possibility that the healing can begin. Now, again, I'm only speaking from a healing child, because I ain't going to say I'm healed, but a child that's still pushing through that healing from, quote, a horrible mother. Why was she a horrible mother? Because I went off of the expectations of what, you know, I wanted her to be, or what even society deemed she needed to be, which she was not, you know. And I felt that my mother was one of those mothers who gave birth and became a mother out of season. She did not have no nurturing bones, still don't have no nurturing bones. She ain't no kissy poo-poo, none of that in her soul. Not in her body, but in her soul. It just was not in her, you know. So I just wanted to add that to what you were saying. And go ahead, LJ, with your question.
My question to Mary Fox was, what do you think about people who have children, because you brought up the topic of rape, incest, or even dealing with, I'm adding the incest, and I'm adding the unknowing of who that child's father is. Do you think that holds precedent on why women would treat children without a loving, you know what I'm saying, without having that loving energy or that loving availability for that child?
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes people are, you know, in those situations, they are, in fact, lost, and, you know, they lost their self and don't know which way to go, you know, and sometimes people do give up on their kids. That's why we do have a child system where, you know, kids can get adopted and stuff because of, you know, situations like that. Now, during my grandmother times, you know, when things happened like that versus, you know, having abortions, they gave the children to other family members or, you know, or stuff like that, you know. But, you know, I do think
that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted you to pull up.
You know, because we do.
And
it's all because of the mental state of that parent, you know, because, you know, we haven't had programs, even though there are programs out there that teach people how to, you know, the things to do when having a baby and taking care of a baby. We have those programs out there, but those programs are not you know, marketed a lot, so people don't know of those programs, and people don't, you know, actually get in those programs to help them, their sales, you know. So a lot of people are lost, and a lot of people don't know how to do it. So even somebody can get frustrated and at that moment, you know, do something that, you know, they may have not, wouldn't have done, you know, if they was in their right mind at that time. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Let me just
real quick,
is that the auntie that just died, you know, y'all guys, I gave the ancestors yesterday, but shout out to my auntie, Jardine Smith, but she actually, one of my aunts actually did that. She gave her child up for adoption, and she gave it to my aunt who just passed away. And mind you, he turned out beautiful. He turned out wonderful. But she actually did that. And me and my Amy is close. She like me and you, LJ. She the physical here as far as me and you. And so I asked her, Amy, why did you do that? Why did you know? And she would just sit and cry. Every time she tell me the story, she said, sit and cry. I wanted what was best for him. I knew that I wasn't in a place, you know, to be, you know, I mean, she's very vocal about it. But one thing we didn't get, the child, he won't never talk about it. He never talks about how he feels about it. But that actually happened in my bloodline. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what I was getting ready to say after what Mary Fox just said, now, we've had these systems. They're not government systems. But this is another part of rite of passage. See, when you got close-knit family that knows about, you know, things that are going on with the women, or like I said earlier, I don't know if you was at the top of the show, Mary Fox, but you know, you have these situations, and parenting doesn't come with a book. It doesn't. Nurturing, you can't get from a book. You have to have it in you to give it. So when we're dealing with having these babies and having these situations and having these children from situations, it is a mental state of mind that you have to be willing to embrace. How many women are strong enough, and I know they're out there, that have had a child from rape, and they kept their child, and they loved on their child, and that child didn't represent the narrative of the negative part of the 360. You know, women have had children, and they develop a hatred for their children because they don't know who their child's father is. I was with three different niggas that week. I don't know who baby this is. This Maury Povich type stuff. You know, they got girls on Maury Povich. They've been back 30 and 40 times. You slept with 30 or 40 different people in 3 days? Wow. Wow. So what I'm saying when I bring all of this up is that the mind of the host that is going to carry that child receives DNA downloads from everything that that host is carrying. So if child molestation is a part of that, this is why so many people say, well, I was never molested, but it must have been in my lifeline or in my lifetime. No, it might have happened to your mother, and you're remembering it from her womb because your womb holds memory, just like your phallus, brothers. You have a womb. You have a spiritual womb. Your spiritual womb holds memory. This is what part of us cleansing and healing and doing the things that we do the way that they do, the way that we do. This is why you don't heal your chakras from the top down, but you heal your chakras from the bottom up. So when we're dealing with, okay, I want a child, I love my baby, I love my baby enough to have my baby, but I don't love my baby enough to keep my baby. I don't love my baby, I don't love myself enough to know that I can love this child enough to keep it. You know what I'm saying? And so these are a lot of where your aunt, nephew is healing, and she's saying, you know, I just wanted the best for him, and I didn't feel like I could give it to him. That child felt everything without the lie, without the covering, without the sheltering, while he grew in her womb. So for him to go back, his very existence is based on not what she showed him, but what she told him in the womb. And we don't deal with that level of things. We don't deal with what we were feeling during those 9 to 10 months of giving this baby a place to grow. If you, energy has been proven just using water. If you talk to water, and then it's another glass that you don't talk to, and then it's another glass that you play music for, the energy of the water that you talk to and that music is played for is a higher elevation than the water that is just there. So energy is prevalent in everything. And what do our babies live in? Water. Our babies live in water. So water amplifies. You know what I'm saying? I got a cousin, she cried her whole pregnancy. And I, before God, y'all know I love the kids. I love the children. I do. But I will not keep her baby because I'm scared of a nervous breakdown with this baby, because this baby cry all the time. All the time. Old people would call it colicky, the baby colicky. Yeah, just ain't happy, just cry. You know what I'm saying? So we have to be aware of our mental state before we want to procreate. We have to be aware that after these babies are alive, these babies got 23 chromosomes from us, and they got 23 chromosomes from their father. And if they're gifted like MJ, they snatch an extra chromosome from one of us. It's what they call Downs or trisomy 21. But what I'm saying is you as a being are still growing in your knowing. So you as a being giving off offspring, you're still growing and you're knowing, because now this new offspring has to teach you the parts of you that is the offspring and the parts of you that are not, that you may have not even took the time to realize with the father because you just did the jump off. You just was the one night stand. So you already were showing that you didn't have any, for lack of a better word, coop or respect or moralizing for yourself, that you would
accountability
mate with
as
multiple
the
people,
mother.
Right, to mate with multiple people and not be able to know who your child is, or be raped and have a child and not tell nobody that you was raped, or be incested with a family member and have his baby. Oh, this baby looks so much like us. Yeah, because it's part of us on both sides. So this is healing that has to start taking place on a healthy diaspora before procreation. You got a lot of adults.
Okay, so let me ask you a question.
In today,
so,
in that situation.
Okay.
Oh, no, come on.
So what do you think about, because I understand what you're saying totally, but, you know, women, you know, we have hormonal changes. So, you know, sometimes and then also, too, not only that, after having the baby, you know, for at least up to two years, a mother can
postpartum,
you know, depression.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like what you said,
but
if they don't deal with things like that, you know, then it can, you know, come out on the child, or where
right.
the mother don't want to take care of the child because, you know, she's having hormonal issues and just don't even understand herself or just know what's going on. Because I think
what
a lot of parents don't make it out of that. A lot of parents don't even make it out of that postpartum period,
right.
you know,
right.
in good. And they don't make it out of that period. You know what I'm saying?
They
because
never
they
snap
don't,
back.
They
never
don't know
snap
themselves.
Back.
Yeah, yeah. And that could be an
uh-huh.
issue, too, as to, you know, why the parent is treating the child. Now, I do want, when I was thinking about the drugs, I want to bring a light on the fact that we went through a crack era where, you know, if you know anything
about
cocaine and stuff like that, you know,
mm-hmm.
parents didn't, you know, they probably didn't give a damn about the child, but it wasn't because mm-hmm. the parents didn't give a damn. It was because they was high on crack.
Or they wasn't giving a damn about themselves, so they can't give a damn about nothing outside of themselves.
Exactly. And people grew
right.
up like that. They grew up like that. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
And so what we're dealing with right there is people being out of homeostasis. Let me tell y'all something.
Exactly.
I'm going to share my story.
The drugs.
Uh-huh. Now, my mother was a schizophrenic all my life. All my life until she closed her eyes. My mother was a schizophrenic.
Do you think that
my
mother, how do you think that affected you?
I'm getting ready to share my story. Now, my mother was a schizophrenic. And my family, I came up and I had great, great, great grandmothers and grandfathers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I came up under wisdom, on top of wisdom, next door
mm-hmm.
to wisdom. And
yeah.
everybody always catered to me because I was the first baby on both my mother and my father's side. You know what I'm saying? So I was spoiled rotten, and everybody had a hand in it. Why? Because Robinette has mental illness. We got to make sure this baby okay. We got to protect this baby. We got to make sure this baby okay. But my
mm-hmm.
mother was such the nurturer that even in her psychosis, she was nurturing to me until I came into adolescence. Once I started becoming a woman, my mother began to now challenge me. But as a child, now, the question of love, did my mother love me? You goddamn right she did. Kill a rock for me and a rock don't bleed. Yes, I know I was loved. But was I loved correctly is the question. See, as parents, we tend to give our children our problems. We make them our counselors. We put too much on them, and we take away their childhood. And that's what happened to me. Once I reached adolescence, my childhood was taken away. My baby dolls became my mother's other children, real children. I was activated in my nurturing, in my mothering, in my providing, in my protecting at 11, 12 years old. That in between 10 and 13 that I was talking to y'all about. So, you know, my mother, she went through the crack era. She functioned in crackhead. The hell you say? You ain't know she was high unless you seen her with the spoon and the Brillo pad. Real shit. Functioning.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
But when she would click into her psychosis is when I had to become the mother. So we role reversed throughout our relationship. Mind you, my mother was 16 when she had me. But she had just turned 16 October 22nd. My birthday was November 13th. My due date was October 31st, Halloween. So me looking at the world upside down, coming in, you know, the 31 looked like the 13 to me. That's how I came. But
can I ask you a question?
Come on.
So what I want to know is because, and the reason we ask it is because I also have, in my family, we have schizophrenia, bipolar, and stuff like that, too. So, I have cousins that fear that, it's hereditary, they may be affected by it. Do you think that is, it could be hereditary? Do you think that... by you going through that with her, that at some periods in your life that you may have been affected by the schizophrenia?
I was definitely
that where,
affected,
you know, it may
I
have sometimes
say,
you may have fell into it.
I won't say that it is a external thing. I will say that it is a internal thing. And schizophrenia is nothing but having a thin sheath that is thin enough for you to create, for you to communicate with other energies / entities. Your veil
of
is thin. I was born with a veil, right, of the realms. I was born with a veil over my face, over my eyes. I came into the world able to see. So when you're dealing with these things and you don't have any understanding of why these things are happening to you. See, everybody crazy. We just got our own levels of crazy. The craziest people on the planet are the people that think they're sane. Because you have to have a level of crazy to function in the chaos that you live in.
For the record,
even people who live peaceful.
Schizophrenia may indeed be something about communicating with other realms. Could it be that these people are not crazy at all? It's just mismanaged because
right.
that level of awareness
right.
is not really shunned upon in this society. So they're not really crazy
that
at
level
all.
Of awareness, that level of awareness never got rites of passage. If you sit down with your elderly family member, I don't care what the relationship is with religion or spirituality or what the fuck ever. When you sit with them and you listen to them, Papa and Grandma gonna tell y'all some stuff. And you be like, what the hell? But I thought you was in the church. I thought you didn't believe in that. I thought you didn't this. I thought you didn't that. These are things that we are having. Being spiritual beings having a human experience that are activated throughout life, and most of us are coming from a place where people are no longer connected to the spiritual them. Your ability to nurture is a spiritual attribute. It is something that you come here with it. You don't grow into it. You see little girls and little boys that play in the playground. And nobody taught them, oh, you got hurt, you got a boo-boo. These children naturally are, like, consoling each other. You see animals do it. You know, you killed a mama deer, the baby deer don't run off.
But what about when they hurt and they can't, and they so hurt where they can't function, you know, and then they go off into those psychoses,
okay, so,
and they walking around daily in these psychoses. These are the things that, you know, is why the children are having issues with the parents, or the parents are having issues with the children, or they may not be having any issues. It's just miscommunication or the knowledge of what is going on with the parent at that time that the kids just don't know.
So that's where the secrets are. You know, mama ain't going to tell you that she had a nervous breakdown at 17 because she pleaded the blood of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus got her out of that situation. And so she never investigated why she had a nervous breakdown at 17. She just know that she had one, and she called the blood of Jesus. So now you tell your child, okay, you 14, I think you crazy, you having a nervous breakdown, you need to go to church, let the pastor pray on you, put some oil on you, not knowing that these are all still spiritual attributes coming from the church.
What is up with
I'm
the secret?
I'm putting oil on you, we going to pray.
Secret.
It's the secret.
What is
it's
up
the secret
with
because,
the secret?
Because parents
Why?
Tend to be in a position, a lot of parents, where they do not want their children to know that the things their children are doing are things that they have done. It's a superiority complex. Your mama don't want you to know that she smoked reefer in college because she don't want you smoking reefer. And if she's cussing you out about you smoking reefer and it ever comes out that she smoked reefer too, now she's a hypocrite. But mama don't tell you that she had to grow to that. And so we've got a lot of children out here that are on this sporadic energy of I got it, I know what I'm doing, because I was an I got it, I know what I'm doing child. So I have to sit back and look at my daughter and my son and say, they get that shit from me. And just like when I was their age, I ain't let nobody tell me shit. I got to wait for them to come out of the, I ain't going to let nobody tell me shit phase. And it comes with maturing. It comes with bumping your head. It comes with you being in a space that has always been you. So it was in your mama, it's in you, and it's in your child. And until we face it, recognize it, and start to talk about it, healing is never going to take place because of coping mechanisms. Now, the breakdown of coping mechanisms is when you no longer have attachments that help you cope. You took away the crack. You stopped getting high. You took away the reefer. You stopped getting high. They took away the man. You ain't got him to blame no more. The child is growing up and doing their own thing, and it ain't shit you can do about it. Now you got to deal with you. And when your child see you healing, now your child will begin to come back to you on the things that they're dealing with because they say, mama, you going to keep it real with me? Like, you know, you really don't know who my father is? Because the family talking, people letting it be known.
Well,
you can't. Some things you can't hide. So you got a whole cemetery in your closet, and your family talking to your child about the cemetery in your closet, and you only want to face the skeleton that's in the front of your closet. But your child is evolving and going through everything that's the cemetery in your closet. But because you won't tell your child that you've been there too, now your closet has become the place where you're afraid. So you don't even want to go and face the closet because you've developed a fear of what your child is going to think about you if you come out the closet. And that's our breakdown. Your children don't want no child to know that, you know, your brother, I don't know, I slept with 14 boys that week, so I don't know who his father is.
And that's
and
the
then
problem.
When
he
come out, mama,
you the awakening. And that's the problem that we're coming into this awakening, and, you know, us who are woke and who is trying to do the work of, you know, of learning ourselves and, you know, being happy with ourselves and loving ourselves, and people that is trying to do the work, the kids, because it's mostly the kids, you know what I'm saying, that's coming through, but our parents who actually went through that stage, you know, that crack era, that, you know, and everything, even they are coming into the, you know, awakening. And, you know, now some of them are not crackheads no more. That everybody is waking up. And
hold on, y'all. It's gonna cut off, y'all. So hold on. If you're listening online, if you're listening online, guys, you're about to get cut off. So it's about to cut off. You're welcome to listen to the show after, but it's gonna cut you off if you listen online. So the number to call in to continue to listen is 929-477-3423. 929-477-3423 is the number to call in. You do not have to press one, guys. You can just simply call and just simply listen to the last hour that we're going to do here on the show. But the crack era, coming through the crack era, and, you know, even with my mother, you know, I didn't confront her until I was about 34 years old about her crack addiction and how she come through. And she just left the building. Like, she's a runner. Go figure, okay? Where did I get that kid from? She's a runner.
Yeah, okay. That's what I was saying. See, the kids are coming now and want to know and want to work through the issues, but the parents are not as forthcoming because, you know, they live through that. You know, they are programmed because now they came out of the crack and the drugs and everything, and now they're being reprogrammed now. And now they and they reprogram and they Christian lifestyle, so now they so much better than their child who is not the Christian, who is
it
living their spiritual, their free life, and is
not
trying to love their parent.
Right.
But the parent is not forthcoming and is not wanting to move past that because, you know, they in their programs. That's all simple it is. They still in those programs.
I'm going to speak to you from the child in that dealing with my father, okay? Because I know I got 23 from Robinette, and I got 23 from Fred. I'm 46 chromosomes walking and breathing. My father will not address certain conversations that I have lived through with him and my mother. Less more the ones that I don't remember. And when I speak to my father and I say, can we talk about it? He tells me, I will not allow you to open my Pandora box. I will not allow you to take me back to a place that I survived. I will not allow your questions to take me back to a place that caused me so much pain and mental anguish. I survived it and I am done with it. And I said, but, Dad, I need to know because that's parts of you, that's parts of me, and I'm trying to figure out some things about me. And he says, find you on your own, is what my father says to me. Find you on your own. So,
but you know what? I can respect
this is
that.
The
that's
place.
Real shit.
But is it real? And is
but
it
don't do nothing for you.
To the child.
You know what I'm saying? That's why we come into this awareness to where we have to realize that our parents is not going to give us all those things that we needed, and we seek from them as a child. And we have to find those things in ourselves and go on and take note of that and teach our children better and stop the chain.
Right.
Break
right.
that chain.
And
Mary,
so that's why with
Mary,
me
on.
And my children, I'm open with my children with every level of my life that we can conversate on. But the issue with that being profound, and at least he's in his awareness where he knows how to protect himself, is that he didn't think as a young adult at 20, messing with a 15-year-old girl, that he was going to get a daughter. And that daughter was going to be attracted in her youth to older men because of his absence. He didn't think that it was going to hold weight on why I looked at men the way I did and thank the universe for everything that was in my grandfather, because my father is my father, but my grandfather was my daddy, and my daddy played no games, and he held no secrets. Secrets are the demise of
thank
a family,
for the grandparents.
Period. Secret is the demise for the family. A lot of people are in their 30s, in their 40s, in their 50s, and they fucked up because mama and daddy and grandma and papa kept secrets. And they thought it was just little white lies and it was okay to tell. And now their great-grandma and great-papa is in the grave.
The
grandma and granddaddy scared to die.
They're still living in fear.
They're scared to die because they know that it needs to be talked about, but they're not willing to talk about it. And then you got the children that are saying, you are not going to talk to my mother like that, or you're not going to address my father like that. And so the grandchildren are looking like, all y'all motherfuckers is fake. All y'all motherfuckers is full of shit.
Yep.
All y'all motherfuckers ain't worthy of my bloodline. All you, and so now you get this discord and this energy when all you got to do is bring your truth to the table. It's a simple conversation.
Yep.
You want to get naked with people? Get naked
if
with your children. Not physically get naked, but I mean, if it's some things going on with your body, get naked with your children and show your children. I went through cancer.
Especially
my
older and can
breath.
Deal with it, you know.
Right, exactly.
Mary Fox, it sounds like that you kind of understand this on a different perspective, because what I feel from you is that you understand from a parent's perspective why some of these parents did what they did, you know, and I'm, whether it was right or wrong how we may be deem it as wrong for you to keep secrets and for you to, how LJ just explained, how her father just shut her down like that. You know what I'm saying? But it kind of seemed like, as a parent,
definitely within, you know, breaking my own curses within my family. Yes, definitely with breaking my own curses with my mom, you know what I'm saying? My oldest child, you know, because, you know, he ran away at 12. You know, I was devastated. You know, I was a single parent and did everything and I could and provided and, you know, didn't get no help, you know. But people turned on me, you know, and, you know, it was a shame because it was my mom. It was so, yes, I definitely am speaking from, you know, a place of experience, and not only my own experience, you know, others, people's experience too, you know, because I have brothers who, you know, my mom lost, you know, and I didn't see them for over 25 years, you know. My brother found me. They got adopted, you know. So, Yes, definitely.
You know about this topic.
The way that you see it now, are you having roundtable talks with your children that you deem are mentally prepared to hold the intricate parts of you? See, I'm wide open with my children. I talk about my
relationship. I definitely am more forthcoming with them than I was with my older child. With my older child, I was very strict, you know.
Is
what
your
I'm
older
saying?
Child
and
the one who passed?
Yes, he's the one who got killed. He got shot.
Okay.
And so, you know, being that I was strict, you know what I'm saying? My son, he felt like he couldn't talk to me. So one day before he passed, got killed, he told me this. You know, we had a conversation. He told me, you know, the reason why he ran away was because, you know, I think before the holiday, he was in school. He was in junior high. We stayed in Oak Cliff. You know, but I'm from South Dallas, and the kids at the school, you know, they know he was from South Dallas. So, you know, sometimes he had a lot of fights at this school. So he had got in trouble, and then, like, the Christmas holiday had passed, and then he had just went back to school. And I think on that day he had a fight, but because, you know, he didn't want to come home to me because he knew that how strict I was, and he didn't want to punish me and none of that stuff. You know, he went to his dad's, he caught the bus to his dad's and, you know, told them what to do, whatever. And, you know, they called me talking about calling CPS and threatening and all of that. And so he ended up, you know, staying over there or whatever because it was his dad. So, you know, so
let's.
to prevent from fighting with them, you know what I'm saying? I let him go. But, you know, I didn't want to. And for years, that was, like, the hardest
time. He was trying to get away from
my
your
life.
Control.
You know what I'm saying?
He was breaking away from your
that
control.
That was, like, the hardest
That's
time of my
was.
Life. But I
yeah.
learned with him, you know, not to be as strict as I was,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
then, you know, us parents, we get into that mode where we're doing stuff, you know, for the love of our children and the protection of our children and not realizing that sometimes it's just too much. It's just too much.
Yeah. I did that. I
well,
ran
you
away
know,
at 15. It was a similar situation. I feel whoever, whatever child did that for you, I feel that because I left at 15 breaking away from my mother's strict and controlled shit. Like, I didn't want to have nothing to do with her no more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Most children in the adolescence will run away at that age between, you know, coming out of being a tween and going into being a young adult. That 14, that anywhere from 12 to 17, that little 5-year gap right there, most children will run away. And you know why they do it? Think back to when y'all did it. You do it because
there was the people that was around me that was speaking negativity that, you know, like I said, I didn't have a lot of support. And even my family, the people that was around me, you know what I'm saying, they always spoke negative things about me, around him, to him, you know. So, you know, he didn't know.
But
he don't know.
But I'm
you know
speaking.
I'm
speaking as being the child itself. See, I left my mother's house at 13 years old. I became an emancipated
mm-hmm.
minor. I didn't run nowhere. My mother told me, "You ain't got to run no goddamn where. You can walk real slow. You don't want to be here. You ain't got to be here. You walk real slow. You ain't gonna take nothing I bought you." Up out of here, but you free to go. And took me to the courthouse and John Hancocked it. You know what I'm saying? But what she told me is, I'll never close my door.
Damn, I'm not the John Hancock.
I'll never close my door on you. And what that meant to me, I didn't understand it then. But what it meant to me is that I'm trying to protect your ass from going through what I went through. Okay? But you hard-headed. So after you go out here and get your head bust and get raped and get fucked up and fucked over and do drugs and have to come off of drugs and everything, because, see, my mother was an open book for me. My mother didn't hide from me. You know what I'm saying? My mother didn't shun what she did. And it was because of past lineages that she didn't do it. And she would be like, "I tell you about your father. What you want to know about your father? I tell you everything, or I can tell you limited stuff. Let me know what you want to know, because I'm going to tell you about me. I'm an open book. I'm going to let you know my good, my bad, and my indifferent." So that was something that I got from my mother, even in her being schizophrenic. And she would tell me, "There's no perfect parent, just like there's no perfect child." So you want to know my
story? It seemed like y'all was more sisters than anything.
Well, what it was is I became something for her to live for. My mother had tried to kill herself since she was 7 years old. So her having me, my grandfather was a very avid, active man. He took care of all the children in the family. It was the women that were damaging to my mother. And so my mother just gave me what she had. And how she figured it out, she'd be like, "You can use it or hold on to it. It's up to you. But I'm going to give you what I got because this is how I made it. And if we come from crazy bitches and you a crazy bitch too, even if you ain't introduced yourself to being a crazy bitch. So when you get crazy, this what you do. And when you're in your sanity, this what you do. And if you want a man, don't try to fuck because all pussy
shit.
She kept it. Right. She kept it 100. She didn't hide anything. So when my mother would talk to me about men, she would talk to me about men from the things that I had grew with her through seeing. And she'd say, "I'm going to tell you why I'm attracted to him." Right. Well, it wasn't that I was so fast, but I didn't have a childhood. I was taking care of children. My aunt had a baby and dropped it off at my grandmother's house. And so I was responsible for this baby when I was at my grandmother's house. I was responsible for my mother's kids when I was at my mother's house. I was responsible for my father's children when I was at my father's house.
Yeah,
so anybody's house
like
that I went to.
My aunt, they was like that.
I was the, I was the surrogate mother. So I didn't have a childhood. My childhood was real. My childhood was real life. If you drop that baby, somebody coming in here to whoop your ass. But, and they're the adults. They're supposed to be watching the baby. But if I drop the baby, somebody coming to whoop my ass because I dropped that baby. Dang. So we end up with these diasporas that we don't really want to deal with. It look all fancy when you go to grandma's house and papa got his bed and she got her bed, and we don't really know that they still haven't sex. It looked nice when you come in and Papa sign his check and put it next to the butter bowl, and Mama come in there and she get her notebook out and she write down everything that need to be spent and go spend it and bring Papa back to change and make his lunch and make his, all that was beautiful until I started being conscious enough to understand the arguments that went on behind the bedroom door. Until I understood that my grandfather wasn't the perfect man that I thought he was as being my daddy, but my grandfather laid his hands on my grandmother. And I understood then how my grandmother would manipulate to cause him to want to lay hands. My grandmother killed my uncle for getting back at my grandfather. My uncle was in the house dying with pneumonia. She wouldn't take him to the hospital.
Wow.
So, you know, these are things that we have to, you know, hey, oh, them kids, them damn kids don't know nothing. Children are paying attention at 3 and 4 years old. They don't know how to tell you what they seen, but they remember.
Yeah.
Your child remember when his father slapped the shit out of you and knocked you down the stairs and the baby hit his head on the rail. That child remember that. You ain't got to talk to that child about, do they remember? What you got to talk to them about is letting them know that you weren't in the right mind to be able to protect them because you wasn't in the right mind to protect you. These are hard conversations we got to have. I became a mother before I knew what mothering was. I went out and became a mother because I wanted to move out on my own and get an apartment on Section 8 and get food stamps and Medicaid and not have to worry about having the father because the system was bringing in the things that the father should have been bringing in. See, we don't have these conversations because we don't want to be open enough. But secrets is what come back to hurt you. Secrets is what keep you in fear. Secrets is what keep you in pain. It comes a time when you need to sit at the table and talk to your daughter. And when she come in and say, Mommy, that boy, he was touching on me, and I was fighting him, and I couldn't win, and I couldn't get loose, and he took my virginity, Mommy. And I ain't know what to do. And you say, Baby, it's okay. Because a man took my virginity, and I didn't know what to do. And so now you're on an even playing field where there's no judgment. But experience didn't have to be how they got the lesson if you wouldn't have kept your secret.
Mm-hmm.
If you wouldn't have kept your secret and talked to your children about you being raped or molested, your children would have known, I can go to my mother about being raped and molested because it happened to my mother. And I want to be the one to break the curse. He didn't rape me, but he touched me. And that's close enough. And I know that I can call my mama, and I can call my grandmother, and I can call my auntie, because all of them went through what I'm going through in my now. So now we can trust. And once we can trust, see, trust don't come with secret. We got a misconclusion that trust comes with, see, you're going to keep my secret? No. And you shouldn't keep your secret. Because there's going to be somebody behind you that's got the same secret. And they're going to need somebody to talk to. And you walking around here on your high and mighty horse that nothing ever bothered you in your life for today. And you think because you put on your mask that's not the one for covert, but the makeup that you put on and the wig that you put on and the eyelashes that you put on. And you hit the streets because you beat. And nobody sees the soul that's inside of you that's beat the fuck up. They just see the mask you put on when you come out and say, shit, I'm good. But are you? Because you can't even talk to your son about how he cussing out his girlfriend because it reminds you of when his father talked to you like that when he was in your womb. And so it's natural to him, and he don't understand why it's natural to him. And it's because you never sat down and talked with him and told him. And, you know, you can communicate with her and help bring her to where you want her to be if you just talk to her like you really care. Because if your father had to talk to me like that, your father probably would have helped raise you, and your father could be having this conversation with you and not me. There's no accountability anymore. Everybody's free for all that. Everything is that we can do what we want to do because we thought we wanted to do it. Remember, it's a 360 to spirituality, too. This shit will fuck you up as much as
so
it will set
you
free.
So let me ask you something, LJ. So, I hear what you're saying about the secrets, you know, because I don't think that, you know, we should have secrets, you know, things like that, you know, and I do. And it's a lot of things that, you know, I feel like my mom and aunts or grandmother, a lot of stuff that they didn't pass down, knowledge and stuff that they should have passed down, but they didn't think that they needed to or just didn't do it. So my question is about the human experience. So if we tell it all and we know it all, how do you think that will go for our human experience
you don't know it all. You don't know it all. You know what you've experienced, and you know the stories of other people's experiences. You think you
do,
but you don't know it all. What you do is you allow the conversation. You have to allow the conversation.
But
like with my daughter,
information from our parents, if we're trying to know it all, are we not trying to know it all and seeking things from our parents that maybe that they can't give us?
Well, I hope not.
I want to know it all. And I want to know it all because it's what I come from, even before I came. And I want to know it so that I can, when I recognize it in my life, when I see it trying to kindle up it from the generational curses, I can cut its head off. Because me and Daddy had a conversation about this, and Daddy went that way already. So I don't have to go that way. I can stay on the path that I'm on in my now, and I don't have to make the choices that Daddy made because I see what it did to Daddy. But now I can make my own choices from it and fix it so that my children don't have to go through it at all. In me, not in my children. I have to fix it in me. So that when my children start to going down that path, we can have the conversation that's a healthy conversation, because when my child comes to me and talks to me, I'm not in fear. A lot of my daughter and I argument are because I'm in fear of what I've survived, and I don't want her to go through that. I don't want her to know what rape is. I don't want her to know what child molestation is. I don't want her to experience abortion. I don't want her to experience miscarriage. I've never had domestic violence. My son's father hit me one time, honey, and I laid down the law. So I can't tell nobody about getting beat up because I don't get beat up.
Hold on, y'all. It's 12:22, timely. You know, Eternal, I didn't know was here. You know what I mean? But Eternal is here, you guys. So I don't know how long he's been here. But just to let you know, Eternal, the topic is, what the original topic was, what drives a parent to hate a child. But Mary Fonte came in and weighed in, and so we kind of switched it up a bit, and we said, what drives parents to keep unwanted children. Okay, so what drives parents to keep unwanted children? So that's kind of where, and I mean, Mary has been speaking from experience, you know, as far as her situation. Auntie LJ has been speaking from experience, you know, and I've been speaking from the child who's been in these experiences, you know what I'm saying, and as coming through as a healing adult, you know, and at the root, what we are seeing is at the root is healing is for all. And healing, the energy space, Maya, you know, I would love for you to tie in Maya with all of this. But that's where we at, Eternal. Peace. Very timely.
Peace,
appreciative
of
you showing in this cycle.
Ashe, greetings to everyone. How are y'all?
Greetings.
Wonderful.
And yourself?
Yes, it's a great day. Yes, thanks. Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you. This day is very, very blissful. We're actually being in another consciousness of awareness and awakeness as we're enhancing ourselves, as we do on the radio. This is how we get the raw and D and I and O back into the energy of everywhere the indigo of energy, we also have the crystals and the rainbow children, the golden child. If you notice yourself as the golden child, you start to realize you have gold inside of you. A lot of us don't realize this at a young age. So we have the unwanted parent, and then we have the unwanted children. It goes so much in reverse and vice versa that just like how LJ was speaking, some of us have been touched the wrong way, and we speak it, and then they say, I don't want to hear it because it's messing up my spirit. But then it's like, well, I got a bad spirit too then, since you got a bad one. And so now we take on the ongoing curses, passing it to our children and our children's children until we finally reverse it. If we don't do any shadow work, we're all going to hell. That's just plain in sight. I mean, seriously, we've been so serious that even when we're not serious, we can't be taken seriously. Mm. This is where the unwanted became wanted.
Eternal.
We've been wanting things to happen for us, right, in our life, but it's a stage to each one of them. It's an age to each one of them. And as we get older, we find out how younger we really are. There's the side where we say young gets old and old gets young. But the difference is the old gets mature, not just young. We also get young from the knowing of the mind and how the mental and the spiritual are supposed to flow. But also a point of where you're getting your physical, showing the trueness of how your genuine self has iniquity or antiquity. And when I say iniquity, I'm basically speaking on the basic, unfair, wild side, untamed side, the zebre that they call a zebra in our mentality. Now, of course, this word zebre is not my word. They just happened to use it, and it became a French terminology that we call a wild, untamed animal that has black and white stripes. Imagine that. This is how we've been using words like this to label our children. This is an example that I've had last night. The brother said, man, I don't understand these women. I like women, but I can't stand when these women be acting up. Okay, wait a minute. Is it the women or is it yourself? And maybe you didn't notice yourself. And then when it happens, it's this imagination that you see out of this other person. And you said, dang, that's the person I don't want to see. And now you go run away from it, and then you find it in another one. And then we have children with these same people. And I'm wondering, okay, what did we do and where did we go wrong? Well, maybe first through the fifth, how that child got to the fifth age and we then ran away from her and felt like she's supposed to got it right. She's supposed to have this contract about contractions and birth, and she's supposed to know what everything's going to happen to be like. She got to know about prepartum and postpartum. Right? That's supposed to be expected, I guess. No, there's some things we're throwing ourselves all the way off from in the first place. We say the seven holes that's in the head. That's my eye. How do you balance yourself? Since it takes at least a child up to be the age of five before we should have sex with that sister again so that she will know her perfection of herself. And if she does want it, we say, oh, wait a minute, I need to humble myself and realize I can't give it to you because we got to make sure you're healthy. You're able to, if you want to have another now baby, we can still now have that happen instead of having one child and then having another one and then the other child doesn't make it. Or that child makes it, but it don't have the same perfection as that first child. Or that child that came first don't have the same perfection as the second child. See, there's so many things that we don't see in the reverse of that we still act like, well, it was in God's hands, and we're just going to let God do his God's work. But yet, we ain't doing no godly stuff to make sure that God's getting that God's hand thing. We're out of our own self of nature, and now we're saying everything should be natural. How unnatural are we when we're calling it natural? It's not natural to touch children at a young age. And it's not natural for our adults to say, I don't want you as my son or daughter. I don't like the things you're doing. You know what? I can't stand your – get out of my face because I can't stand to see your face anymore. What kind of impact and energy did we really push on our children? Because we what? Hate their brother – hate their mother and hate their father, and then we put that impact onto the child? Or do we love the child so much that the child shows you neglect? And now you don't know what to do because the child acting up, and you're not used to that. Maybe because you created a monster in your own child. You created this riddle that you were trying to figure out. How come it happened? Well, maybe before you had the child, you was doing these things and your child picked up the behavior you thought was, you was quick and no one saw you and you was in a 12-hour store. Instead, you was in a 24-hour store. They saw you the whole entire time. They had the camera on you before you even thought about thinking of doing it. So now, here you are saying, I'm a perfect parent. Is you? Because your child's showing how imperfect you are right now. And then, oh, I'm an imperfect child. Well, maybe because your parents are thinking themselves as perfect. We've been pushing perfection and imperfection in the wrong ways. We tell our child that you need to go to school, get this proper education, as if they can't be educated right there amongst you. That's a problem. Your language ain't built the same. Matter of fact, when your child goes out of the room, your child comes in with a new class, different type of language. And now you want to break the child down because, of course, you don't want your child to grow up in front of you. So now you tell the child, don't learn those languages, but you didn't give them no language to learn with. So now there is some imperfection going on in our senses. What are we doing to help each other when we're supposed to be helping each other? How have we even started on healing? You know, if this brother who was talking about this one woman having to do this one woman, and now he's ready to have another woman because this other woman, she can't get it right. She can't babysit her child right. So now he wants somebody else to babysit her child. Are you serious? You want to put another woman in that other woman's face and now say, take care of this child because she don't know how to do it. What kind of postpartum are you actually adding on to the player? It's a lot of this play that we keep putting on each other and saying black sheep and don't know the black sheep is also the freaking scapegoat. We call it goat for a reason because we've been using this goat mentality. This is where the bafflement, the as above so below has been happening to us because we're doing the Yaakov's ladder. We drop ourselves so low in our seven chakras that we expect someone who's learning how to become an exotic dancer, you call them a stripper. They might be just doing exotic dancing all their life. But guess what? They also probably been touched in their early age. So to overcome themselves, they decide to become an exotic dancer. But instead, you look at them as a stripper. So you see no differences by all the holes that we have that some of us been touched by them in a different way. That now we don't see the impaired part and maybe to help them out and fix them on healing versus judging. We're going to do a lot of judging when we get to eight anyway. Before we even get past my eye, we done already got to judgment, which is eight, to build and destroy. We got to destroy it in order to build it back up. So when you put fear in your child, fire, earth, air, and rain, and then you're expecting your child not to fear you, but then when your child is past the fear of you, they hate you. Where did that hate come from? I don't know. I didn't give it to him. Yes, you did. You kept feeding them and slow feeding them and then say, I gave them food, clothing, and shelter. Who gives a damn about their conditioning? Who's going to care about they use their right hand all their life and I want them to use their left instead or reverse it because most of the world thinks with the right hand, not the left. There's so much of what we don't see. We've been reversing our children to be. And now for 180 degrees, you put them in a school for 12 years as 12 houses to themselves. And when they come back each year, totally different. A 180 to even 360 change on you. And you're thinking, what's up with this child? Why is this child acting up? Because you're putting the corruption in your child. You feel like your child ain't even good enough. Not even to hang around you even. You so bored. Get out of my face. I can't stand when you act like that. And you want to beat the child in front of other people as an example. I thought that was part of the Willie Lynch chip. We still using the Willie Lynch chip? Are you serious? Now how about this one? If there's a point of how you don't love yourself, then maybe that's why we're showing how we don't love each other as a child. And then you're saying, what's wrong with that child? You didn't give your child any love. You didn't hug the child. You didn't even, when the baby came out, you let the doctor smack your baby. You gave your child trauma and drama at the same time. 9 times out of 10, some of our fathers ain't even in the room when it happens. So he can't do no protection. He ain't no authority or nothing. Because where's the influence coming from? And where's the power coming from? See, when we lose all of that, we got abuse, neglect. We got some that's suicidal, some homicidal. And you expect this is the best to come out of the garden.
How about weeds can also come out of that same garden? The vines that's connected to the tree. The actual bark that's on the tree gives it salt while the vines give it sugar. When are we going to finally realize the masculine and feminine both have principles and they both need to be addressed? What gender are they really going to put out forward? If I'm not taking out the trash, is it the point that I'm just letting my feminine become masculine? I have to know and now be aware of these things. If not, how am I not aware of these things as it's happening? Your truth is you. All right. Your truth is you.
Mm.
If you don't see the truth in yourself, then you've been running around faking it the whole time. Fake it till you make it. That's what most people say, right? But how you going to fake it all the time? You can't keep faking it. You got to actually create it, not make it. Because, see, you've been making it like as if you are a gingerbread man. But now it's the gingerbread man that's having problems in this situation. We don't know which side we want to be on. I don't even want to deal with women no more. I can't stand them now. But that's the same thing what an exotic dancer would do. You know why? Because he's been dancing in front of them all his life. And now he says, you know what? I don't want to deal with women no more. That's like the same way we eat. You've been eating meat all your life. But now he says, you know what? I'm tired of meat. Always, every time I taste it, I think of blood every time I bite it. Maybe because that's what you've been thinking about the whole time. Maybe that's what you've been feeding your children also the whole time. This neglect of how much do you have God-like senses in your body? How many seven holes do you really use? Your nose, your eyes, your ears, your mouth. Do you know that that one hole can make two holes? We got a nose that got two holes in it, but it's off of one connection. So that one connection is still one hole, but being two. It's a split. We've been split like this all of our lives. But now, if you look down in your pants, and as a baby, when you was a baby, that split was the same thing before it became a phallus if you're now a man. So now how do you understand your gender of how you explain yourself to your children? And then your children got to grow up and become somebody, yet they already are. Now that's the stagnation that's going on. What you want to be when you grow up? Grow up? Why got to wait until that to grow up? I can actually be it right now. I just got to perfect it while I'm in it right now. This is why we have problems with this imperfection and perfection. We feel like we're not even good enough yet. When we probably ain't even thought of ourselves being good yet. And then let alone good is obedience. To who, though? God? If your God is inside yourself, it's time you start identifying it even outside of yourself. If you don't have a God, yes, I respect. Then you have to start putting these images back to yourself so you can start reflecting what God does and God is. As in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was as it is with God. So now how are you really feeling godly when you walk around? Do you feel like a imp? Do you feel like an evil person? Do you feel like every time you have a conversation it seems like it's not going your way? Well, that's the opposite of live. You've been living backwards. That's what evil represents, when you see yourself and the other side of yourself that you don't like. Now, how many times have you gotten up and said, I don't like how I look. I don't like my skin. I don't like my hair. I don't like my feet. I don't like my hands. This time you start saying, I love my hands. I love my feet. I love all my body parts. If you haven't, this time you start. Because you've been restarting yourself every day. But who are you restarting yourself for? And how long have you been doing that? You work, or is it your duty when you get up? When you work, that's what when you thought was 24 hours. But guess what? You can't do that for 24 hours. You can't work for 20. Let me know somebody who works for 24 hours. That's 3 times 8. That's 3 times Scorpio energy. So now, 3 times my Scorpio energy and my reflections and not even know it, just like how the sun comes up and the moon comes up, that might be a day the sun and the moon come up. Are you really going to work 24 hours? Are you going to work your mental, your physical, and your spiritual bodies that long that you're not going to get a shutdown moment? Oh, a shutdown is coming. A shutdown is coming because my eye gives you balance. If you ever get out of balance, because that's what happens with children, they act up, then guess what? Somebody's going to ground them. It might not even be you. It might be your environment that grounds you because mama not paying attention, so we're going to have to do it our way. Now the thought of the child, think I can get this. Yeah, for the child. You still gonna catch it. If you the certain person that's been touching people in an incest way, you are gonna get yours. It might not be today. Might not even be tomorrow. Might not even be 5 years from now. But eventually, you're gonna get yours. You've been setting this rug up full of dirt, and sooner or later you're gonna trip over it on your own 2 feet, fall flat on your face. When you realize how much emotion do you give people every day and don't expect it to come back in return. We call that Venus. That's how you speak your Zen, between your yin and your yang, between the masculine and the feminine principles that you've been claiming. Oh, that's how everything exists. That's how everything exists. Well, guess what? If you look at a flower, it has a stem. It has ovaries. A stem and ovaries. So when you tell me it has a phallus and it actually has a feminine energy, both? Yes. That's why we eat plants. It's a little different from the animals. You can see whether one's masculine or whether one's feminine. This is how we've been eating. If we've been eating a cow so much, we might turn cowards. We've been eating cows so much. We don't eat bull, do we? And then if we eat chicken, how many people actually eat roosters? See, when we start eating animals, we forget that we're the genders of the animal. And so now, when that animal attacks you, whether it's daytime or night, it's going to eventually. Now, of course, you can take the plants to do the same thing, but there's a thing of what we call harmony. If you know that your body's getting harmonized by the plant, then the plant isn't attacking you. Maybe you was attacking the plant. See, there's a difference. And just like how animals back in the day, they didn't get killed or murdered like we were doing. They actually sacrificed themselves. They actually honored you and let their body have that moment, let that body go, so now you can have life. That's what life is. Not evil backwards. Life is life projecting life and giving life more life. Now, of course, we could think of death, but it's a actual dimension and change. See, when we speak of dimensions. We don't just speak of time. Someone else created that. So you could be seconds today first. So you could always think that you're on a second level, not a first level of yourself. Notice how first is a ST and then second was with an ND. So now when we get the RD and then fourth, TH, we're going to change up the whole dimension of how you've been thinking of things. First, second, third, fourth, now fifth. This is why my aunt gives you seven as a heaven in reality. And this is why at the age of seven, you're supposed to already know rites of passage. But if the holes ain't been opened, it's because of your parents who ain't learned how to open their holes up. And they got it on their head before they start working with the body, because wherever the head goes, the body is sure to follow. And it can fall low. So when you say, oh, I fell in love, you fell low on your own energy. Time for you to find your chi energy. Go inside your ki energy. Don't be a monkey. Be a monk with the ki energy. Because if you act like a monkey, when you come out of that cage, that's all you're showing when you come out of a cage. You're still a monkey. And you got to be a monkey. You can be a monk with the ki energy. But we had this outrage feeling, and we got to feel that you got to be on this page of energy that you can't see yourself. That's called contagious energy. So now you can't be yourself no matter where you go. And how are you supposed to be yourself? You got to know the difference, Adams and Adams family. We don't see that with the click of the finger. That's Thanos. We done seen that too many times before. We done seen this circle of how many people want to keep the dimension of oppression over our heads that we don't no longer have to be in it. That's called a ceiling over your head. We don't need to seal ourselves over here. That's for a walrus or a seal in water. We need to see who's the leaders in ourselves. And not talking about L-E-A-D-E-R-S either. I'm talking about L-I-T-E-R-S. How much liters of water do we reflect ourselves? Because if you can't reflect yourself, it's probably because your fire been outfired yourself. You got to put a higher in your fire for your flame to be an F, or it could be a lame of yourself if you don't have an F right. That's your off. That's your flesh. That's your energy that you sit into. Karas, caress. You've been calling it Christ all this time. But when do you use your crystals, the crystal of your mind? How do you come into a four, walk in north, south, east, and west, be a map, and can't see how you compass yourself? Without an accomplish, you need an L, which is a seven, upside down. See, this is why we couldn't see heads or tails on everything. Because, see, you still got to have a five Heru around you. You still got to have that child that you didn't probably say, oh, I don't need to be connected to. Yes, you do. Leg, leg, arm, head. That's Allah. And if you don't speak that to your children, then they speak in God, G-O-D. That's generator, operator, and destroyer of their own self. And you haven't seen gods yet. You've been seeing only a god. That's why they made it a stag god. And so some of us are still in one stage of their god performance. They might just got their mouth being a smart mouth talker. Oh, you one of them smart mouth little. Man, I want to smack in the mouth. And that's what you're going to do because you see yourself in that child. How about you take the time, breathe, take the holy breath like you're supposed to, relax, realize your power. Because if you start to abuse power, that's when you start to abuse that child. We think because the child acting up in the room, I got to address that child. How about you just gave power to the child now? How about you address the one that's doing the right thing in the room instead of the one who's on the left doing the left thing in the room? Maybe the child will start to adjust themselves when they say, dang, that teacher ain't even paying attention to me. You know what? I'm going to have to change up. Maybe do something else, and maybe the teacher start to pay attention to me. I see she's recognizing the child that's doing the right thing, so maybe if I go right, but I got to take this other left and this other left to get to the right. And now, look at me. I'm doing the same thing that child's doing. Oh, you are. That's great. I'm glad you're doing positive discipline. See, we don't know where that's at for some reason. But it's right there in front of us. It's called the invisible breath. Like you breathe it on your hand all the time. You might not see it, but you damn sure feel it. You know what it's like. It's when that air, breath of fresh air comes in the room. He's like, dang, what's all that energy coming from? That's you with your seven chakras open. Or you can have them closed and be like, damn, who's that? Oh, I know who that person is. I felt it before that person came in the room. Your noise is just as powerful as your sound. So is your sound noise when you speak it? Do you give up the hypnotic tone to help people with motivation? Or do you bring them down and not tell them to build themselves up? See, we could be grown all day, but if you're grown, that's that cup full of water while that tub's just getting started. Just getting started with some water, and your cup full, so you ain't got nothing to get in or out. So that's our imagination. That's our ego. If you look at Iron Man had his problems going throughout that, all throughout the whole Avengers. It came all the way to the end where he finally realized, damn, that's my ego. My ego to have me one to have the Avengers die, to see them die before, and then finally Dr. Strange said, we got one more time to get this right, and Thanos is about to kill us all right now. So what you going to do, Iron Man? He got up and finally ran over there and said, you know what? Forget that. I'm going to take all his wishes off of his hair. I'm going to put it on mine, and now I'm going to click y'all out of here. Ding, ding. And then killed himself because, of course, he got to take the sacrificial, which, you know, we're supposed to honor, and because he didn't honor, that's why it became sacrificial. He was the one that gave us iron. He gave us the iron stage. He gave us the war machine. He gave ammunition to the enemies. So he had to be the one to take his life, take his own life. That's how you honor things. Now, of course, I know some of us got sad. We saw it as a cartoon or even a movie in a series, but it was telling you truth about some of us have to take that toll. Some of us who thought we were doing bad have to turn good. Some of us who didn't realize how bad we were, turning good. Some of us who was doing bad the whole time says, oh, you know what? I need to change. But now it's a little bit too late. It's a little bit too late. How much have you been waving off that left and right? How much did you say men are 50% as women are? Is that true? Because last time I looked, when a woman holds a child, that's 9 months of birth. We didn't talk about it 3 months. We didn't say a whole year. But every year is a child's birthday. So we already cutting some stuff already. And then we, in speaking of cutting, we cut right on into the stomach just to get the child out. At one point, we didn't even matter if the mother made it or not, as long as the child came out. You see how important the child is? Now we got people to say, I don't even want to be around that child because it's the mama that's acting up. Man, you need to stick it in for at least that good 5 years so that child, when that child grows up, knows that you've been there. when it was rites of passage for that child. At least stay for 5 to 7 years. At least. You got a child out here, I need you to really put it in. Put your work in. Because you're calling it work, but it's really your duty.
Your duty. All right, y'all. We got 10 minutes left. Ashe, LJ, Auntie LJ, you go ahead and take us out, okay? We got 10 minutes left. Join us tomorrow, guys. Tomorrow's Spiritual Soul Sunday. Tomorrow is going to be my yacht in Baltimore, you know, because I really, truly, eternal want you to expand on that Maya. And then also I want to incorporate Balsamin in there as well. So join us tomorrow, guys. We're going to be talking about Maya and the Balsamin energy. And, that's at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central. Auntie LJ, we got about 7 minutes.
Okay. So greetings to the panel. I love when eternal comes in, especially when it's not anything that we do that's planned. Because basically what he did is he solidified and collected everything that was the energy that we had already created and put his spin on it and gave it back. So we actually received confirmation. And that's very powerful in so many ways. This actually could turn into a series because there's so many different diasporas to look at it and pull from it and do healing with it. The bottom line, family, at the end of the day, is if you can, before you have children, deal with your inner child. It'll help you with your children. I promise. We don't like to look at it like that, and a lot of us don't have the parents to go back to and question or talk to anymore. They're no longer on this side in a physical body. And if you're not in tune and you don't do what people will call praying or, you know, meditations or however you connect with the other side, then it almost seems as if they don't exist at all. For those of us who don't have the physical family, talk to them in the spiritual. You can still ask your questions, and you don't have to receive a Pandora box shutdown like I did. You can still ask your questions. You can still get confirmation. You can still find out who you are. You can still talk and understand that they were really just little secrets that people didn't want to deal with. And there were secrets that were passed down generation after generation after generation, holding on to the same energy of fear. And this is why these secrets became common or normal, because they were really part of what the family accepted and allowed, even in their subconsciousness, under fear. Be who you are to yourself so that you can be that to your children. And it's not that the children are always going to be acceptable of that, but if you do it, it opens a portal to where you will create a form of communication. Sometimes they have to grow to where you are, which means that, unfortunately, they have to go to where you've been. They just don't have to make the decisions you made when it was your turn. And so that doesn't mean that they're going to be wrong or what you deem to be wrong. It just means that they're different. And nothing's wrong with being different. Nothing's wrong with changing up how grandma and them said we had to do it. There's nothing wrong with creating anew from your now. So with that being said, peace, love, and light, even from our darkness. Deal with your inner child so that you can reintroduce yourself to the child that is your children that was once you. Peace, love, and light. Enjoy the remainder of your day. Ashe.